So last week we introduced the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. We spoke about a little bit of a background. Is the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim a mitzvah min HaTorah? Is the mitzvah min HaRabbanan? Does it include a prohibition of using the Kelim? Does not only just a mitzvah, does it potentially affect the outcome of the food that's used in Kelim that wasn't Tovel? But now we get more into, in a certain sense, a nitty-gritty as to which Kelim exactly are obligated in Tfilah. So when we analyze this question, which Kelim have to be Tovel, we have to analyze it from different vantage points. First, we have to talk about what materials the kli is made up in order to be chayav in tefillah. And then we have to talk about what purpose the kli is serving. And then a few other odds and ends in terms of what makes up the basic parameters of which kelim are obligated in tefillah and which are not. So the sugya really begins where we left off last week when we spoke about the source for tefillah's kelim. According to those who shun, we'll say that it's d'oraisa. So it's rooted in the Psukim and Parshas Matos that describe when Klai Yisrael fought against the Midyanim. So they conquered all their booty, all their stuff, and they got all their pots and the pans and the dishes. So the Torah says that they had a kashim and they had a tovel them. So according to many Rishon, that's a real mokor, it's a real source in the Torah. And according to others, it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, that was just an asmachta, just hinted to, but it's not really deraisa. But everybody agrees that it has something to do with those Psukim. Either on a level of the Raisa or on a level of the Rabbana, and somehow that, those Psukim are the model for the mitzvah Tfilas Kelim. And it's obvious that the Psukim are only speaking about certain types of Kelim. The Torah spells out, Achas Azov, Yes Akosef, Esachosh Azabarzel, speaks about gold and silver, the six types of metals that are always listed in the Chumash. So the basic mitzvah Tfilas Kelim, either the Raisa or the Rabbana, obviously only applies to metal, as is described in the Torah itself. The question is, what about other kinds of kelim? So the Gemara says in the first Tanim Ram Lekomos, in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayinim Beis Amar Ravashi, Hani Kli Zchuchis Ho V'chil Ishtabru Yesh Lem Takana Kikli Marchos Domu. So Ravashi says that even though the basic mitzvah of Tvilas Kelim is only on metal, glass is equated by the Locha to be like metal. One has to tovel glass as well. Why is that? What's the similarity between glass and metal? The Gemara says that just as metal breaks, you just remold it, you just melt it over, you start over again. So to glass, if it breaks, you can redo it. There's in contrast to klicheres, pottery, if it breaks, you throw it into the garbage and finished. So therefore, the halacha equates klizchuches with klimateches. Just how ironclad, no pun intended on that one, but how ironclad is that, I realized it as I said it, how ironclad is that equation between the metal and the glass? So if you hold that the whole Tfilas Kelim is Dirabanan, then it's really a moot question. It doesn't really matter, since you have to tovel metal, you have to tovel glass, that's all the same. But if you hold like those we showed them, the way we accept in Shulchan Aruch, that Tfilas Kelim is a potential mitzvah min HaTorah, so does Rav Ashi mean to say that glass is mamish like metal? The glass has to be toveled mid-daraisa? So most of the poskim assume no. That this svar of Rav Ashi, hovichin ishtabu yeshan takona, this is svar of mid-dirabonon. I mean, this is the reason why Chazal instituted Tfilas Kelim on glass. Mid-daraisa, you only have to tovel metal mamish. That's what it says in the Chumash. The fact that there's a mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim on glass, that's only mid-dirabonon. And the reason why Chazal instituted it mid-dirabonon by glass and not by other things, was because there's a certain similarity between glass and metal. So according to the way we pass the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, is Tfilas Kelim d'oraisa d'rabbanan? The answer is depends. For glass, it's d'rabbanan, and for metal, it's going to be d'oraisa. This, of course, will potentially have differences, lahalacha, practical differences. We mentioned last week that it's only because we pass that Tfilas Kelim is d'oraisa that a child wouldn't be believed to do Tfilas Kelim. Or other chumras that we have in Tfilas Kelim are predicated on the assumption that Tfilas Kelim is d'oraisa. If it would only be mid-dirabanan, such as by glass, then many of these chumras wouldn't apply. So in Achram, that's how we assume in halacha, that many of the shittas that we have adopted, that we accept as chumras, Nuchas Tfilas Kelim, maybe one can be a little bit more lenient about when we're dealing with glass. Glass is only mid-dirabanan. So kohopanim, metals, d'araisa, according to many, and glass is for sure mid-dirabanan. However, even that division itself is not 100% clear. When we speak about metal, so how exactly do we define metal? So if you open up Parshas Matos, you'll see the Torah gives you six examples of metal. Zov, Kesef, Nechoshes, the six official gold, silver, copper, whatever, the lead, the different metals that are listed off in the Chumash. So there's a big machlekes aposkim. What is meant by this list? Is this list an exhaustive list? Namely that the Torah only recognizes six official metals in Halacha. Any other thing, even though it may scientifically be metal, maybe according to the periodic table of elements, maybe it's considered to be metal. Maybe it's, if I remember correctly, it's on the right column of the metal that has all the physical attributes of metal. But there's exeris hakosef, that gold, silver, copper, and those are the six metals that are mentioned in the Chumash. Those are the only ones that halachically are considered to be metal. Everything else is not considered to be in this halachic category. So that'll chapa nafkamin ladina about what's the status of Tfilas Kelim on non-gold. Most of us probably don't have gold Kelim. Non-silver. We don't have silver, copper, iron. Many of the things that we have is iron. Iron is steel. Steel is just heated up iron. So we do have kelim. Many of our kelim are from the six metals, but many of our kelim are not. We have many things that are not officially from the six metals. What's the status of tefillas kelim on those? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that he thinks that the chi of tefillas kelim on those would only be midirabbanan. He thinks that the real bona fide mitzvah deraisa tefillas kelim is limited only to the six metals as mentioned in the Chumash itself. Anything else, other metals, glass, anything, any other shape or form, is only going to be midirabbanan. 99% of the time, it doesn't make much of a difference. You have to travel in anyway, deraisa, derabbanan. The chaps, a couple of nafkamitas here and there. So getting back to the two categories that the Gemara spells out, so there's metal on the one hand, and then that's deraisa, and then there's glass, which is only midirabbanan. What would the din be if you have other kinds of materials that have the same reason as glass? They fall to the same category as glass in terms of reason. Well, practically, they're not really glass. They're a different entity than glass. So this was a big machlokes. What's the status of plastic? Let's say you have a hard plastic kli or something. You have to toivel it. So some poskim wanted to be machmer and say, well, the reason applies. Just as glass can be melted down to form a different kli, so to plastic, you can play around long enough to turn it to something else. So it has certain characteristics similar to metal. So some poskim wanted to argue that just as midrabbanan you have to toivel glass, midrabbanan you have to toivel plastic as well. Another poskim responded by saying, that's true in theory, and if the Beis Nagola was sitting around today when they have plastic, maybe they would have instituted that, but we don't have a job right now to institute new Dirim Dirabonon. We only have to deal with whatever Dirim Dirabonon was instituted by the Beis Nagola, that's what we're bound by. We don't have a Beis Nagola anymore, we don't have to make new Chumras. So many poskim said, even though the reason makes sense, it's a logical, the corollary to glass, but Afa Bichem, just because it's logical doesn't mean that's true, since there's no Beis Din today, and plastic didn't exist in the olden days. The familiar, the Din Rabbanan was never made on this. This is almost like a similar svar. Rav Moshe has this in the Rav Minhagim also. Rav Moshe writes that when Minhagim started, were only chal on things that were included in the minik at the time. So Rav Moshe has this tshuva by Kitnios. He talks about this Kitnios really apply to those things that didn't exist in Eastern Europe when they started to accept these Minhagim 1,000 years ago. So in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, the Ashkenazi communities accept Kitnios. They never heard of 3/4 of the things that we have. So maybe only those things that were part of the official minhag of Kitnios are included. Other things which may have similar characteristics to Kitnios, but they were never included in the original minhag. So Rav Moshe, that's quite an opening Rav Moshe gives us. So Rav Moshe begins to discuss peanuts. If you go with that argument, you can discuss corn also. Forget about quinoa. Yeah, quinoa. Everybody should have heard of quinoa. Quinoa started 5 years ago. But this part of the world. But even things as, which we always assume that corn is considered to be kitnios. So our entire industry of commercial basic food is working with the assumption that corn and quinoa are considered to be kitnios problems. Rav Moshe throws a monkey wrench at us. Rav Moshe says that in the days of the Rishonim, Balatos didn't have no corn. The corn was growing. The Indians were growing corn. They weren't growing corn in Europe. So who says that's considered to be kitnius altogether? So the Minig Olam is not the way. The Minig Yisrael is, we assume that kitnius applies even to peanuts and corn and things that Avosenu never heard of, never saw, never dreamt of. So we assume somehow that whatever's in the Minig was, anything that's in the bean, rice, grain, kind of a family, is all considered to be included in the Minig of kitnius. But at least when it comes to this, when it comes to the Dinder Abana Tfilas Kalim, so Rav Moshe argues that only those things that mamish existed and things that didn't exist in the olden days maybe are not subject to this din altogether. So they're actually different minhagim and different mikvos. In some mikvos you'll notice the sign that says plastic does not have to be toiveled, and in other mikvos will write that plastic should be toiveled or be without a bracha, misafik. So yesh v'yesh. I don't remember what it says in the Tina Kelim mikvah, but I can tell you in my house we don't toivel the plastic. Most of the poskim assume that plastic doesn't have to be toiveled. Then the Gemara continues, so it's the end of the first Nirmah Mekomos. Kunya, Pligi Ravacha V'Ravina. The Gemara speaks about if you have a kli, that the kli itself doesn't really have to be toivled. It's made out of earthenware, but it's lined, it's coated with something which should be toivled. It's coated with some kind of a metal coating, so does it have to be toivled or not? So this was a machlokes. Chadama ketchilas v'chadama kesofa v'chasa kesofa. So one opinion said that you follow the tchilas kli, namely the mainstay of the kli was made of earthenware, it does not have to be toivled. And the other one says, no, you follow the end of the kli. Since afterwards you put a coating on of metal, it has to be toivled. And the Gemara Paskes Beferish said it has to be toivled. So we Paskes in Shulchan Aruch that such a kli kunya has to be toivled. even if the coating is not metal, even if the coating is glass, because we just said before that glass and metal are the same, either they're ice, they're abundant, but lemaisa they're the same. So just as a glass kli has to be toveled, so too an earthenware kli that's coated with glass would have to be toveled as well. So this was part of also a controversy, still an ongoing controversy at HaMezeh, about china. A regular go to store, by regular china, that's glazed china, does that have to be toveled or not? So some saw the word glazed, they got all nervous, they said that's the kunya of Chazal, so it's earthenware. So the cheres itself, the china itself, technically shouldn't require tefillah, but since it's coated with glass, so it has to be toveled. And Rav Moshe held that, no, Rav Moshe said that the kunya that Chazal were describing is not the same as the china that we have. The china that we have, says Rav Moshe, there's no real glass coating on it. Just a little spritz, a little for decorative or something. It doesn't really have any mamushes to it. Chazal would describe it that you have a real layer, a serious layer of metal, a serious layer of glass, that would warrant tefillas kelim. What we have today is just a little bit of a spray-on glaze to make it look nice. Rav Moshe thought that wouldn't require tefillah altogether. So in that also, there are different minhagim and different kelim mikvahs. There are some kelim mikvahs that advertise and saying on their big sign in the mikvah, it says the following thing should be tefillah without a bracha, and it has china on the list. Another kelim mikvah said you don't have to tefillah china altogether. So it was machlekes Rav Moshe and others whether one is required to tefillah china. It all revolves around whether our china is the modern day equivalent of the kunya that Chazal were describing, or maybe one can argue based on Rav Moshe's svar l'chalek. Okay. Okay. It takes less time to tovel than to fight, so it's better not to fight about anything. So we didn't tovel our china. I know at the end of the shiur, no one's going to want to eat in my house. But we don't tovel a plastic, we don't tovel a china either. Somebody was once calling me a shayla once from the kelim mikvah. They said they've been there for hours toveling to china and something happened. I just answered the shayla as if they have to tovel china. I felt bad about it there. I better been there for 5 hours. I don't want to make them feel they were wasting all their time. So lefishi tascha, they have to tovel china. You should do the following. So at least we have some idea as to which materials, from the material point of view, which has to be toveled. Metal for sure, glass for sure. Some people have a misconception that when you tovel glass, you don't make a bracha. So that's not correct. The din is beferish that you make a bracha. It's no different than any other mitzvah derabbanan. You make a bracha when you light nes Chanukah. You make a bracha when you wash until Tosidayim. So you make a bracha when you tovel glass as well. If you have things that you're not sure whether it's chayv and tefillah, okay, so then maybe it's appropriate to tovel it without a bracha. But something that's for sure chayv and tefillah would have to be toveled even with a bracha. So now we move on to speaking about, not in terms of material of the kelim, but what purpose of the kelim. What are you doing with this kelim? Which types of kelim have to be tovel? The Gemara says in the second Amar Mekomis, and of a Dezor, Ayin Ham and Vez, Amar of Nachan, Amar of Avua, Afilu kelim chadashim b'mashma. We spoke about this last week, that even if the kli is brand new, you have to tovel it. And you shouldn't think that toveling kelim is only for those kelim that were treif at one time. Even a brand new kli has to be toveled. That yishanim v'livnon kechadashim damu. Because the Torah describes kelim that were gotten from the goyim, and you have to kash them. Why do you have to kash? You don't kash them, you can't use them altogether. So you kash them. So once you kash them, they're like brand new. And still there's a mitzvah of tefillas kelim. So the mitzvah of tefillas kelim has nothing to do with making the kelim kosher. There's a mitzvah of tefillah, it's a mitzvah in and of itself. That's what we highlighted last week, that the mitzvah of tefillas kelim is not really a kashrus related issue. It's a special mitzvah, see, the mitzvah min haTorah, mitzvah min derabbanan. So then the Gemara asks the question, Master Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asks the question, once you say that tefillas kelim has nothing to do with kashrus, yachi afilu zuzu desarbel anami. If you buy a pair of scissors, you should have to tovel it. You buy anything from a goy, why does it have anything to do with the kitchen? Where's the Tanakh Mishnah kitchen? So Amalei Nekli Su'uda Murim B'Parsha. If you look at the Psukim, it's obvious that the Torah was describing kelim that we use with the fire, with hot water, with the fire. It's the Torah is describing what's called Klei Su'uda. So it's that term, those two words, Klei Su'uda, that govern the entire mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim. Even though the mitzvah has nothing to do with kashrus per se, Harai, you have to tovel things even after they were kashrus, and you have to tovel even new kelim. But the mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim clearly has to do with Klei Su'uda. Yerushalmi says that the hashkafa, the thought behind Tefillas Kelim, is that just as if a non-Jew wants to convert, so he has to go to the mikvah, that's an aliyah b'kedusha, so too, when a kli used to be a goyish kli, and now it's going to be aliyah b'kedusha, you're going to use it for your table? Not so simple anymore. You have to be megayirat, so when you tovel kelim, it's almost like a gear of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi gives a mashal. It's almost like a gear of the gearus of the kelim. But whatever it is, the halacha for sure revolves around the phrase klei su'uda. And the question is, what exactly does klei su'uda mean? So we know certain things that are obviously klei suda. Let's say if a person is actually using something to eat with, so it's hard to envision a greater klei suda than that. So if you have a silverware you're eating with the spoon with forks, with the spoon and fork, for sure that has to be tayvot. Or say you're drinking with the glass, that for sure has to be tayvot. That's one category of klei suda. Then there's another type of klei suda, a kalim that are used to prepare the food, the pots and pans. So of course those have to be tayvot as well. So those two different subcategories of klei suda are obvious. Either the kalim that you're using in the actual process of eating, or kalim that are used for the preparation of the food. But even when we speak about the subcategory of preparation of food, we have to be very careful how exactly we define that. What exactly does it mean that the kli is being used to prepare the food? So there is a question in the third of the Ramakamos, in your Yoredeya, in Simen Kuf Chaf Sif Hei, Sakin Shal Shchita, Yesh Bisha'imesh Eino Tzarech Tevila, V'yesh Chalkin. The Tovla Tovla Blah Bracha. So there's Machlaikis in the Rishonim, 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, whether you have to toivel a shchita knife, and the Ramah Paskins that more appropriate thing is to toivel it, albeit without a bracha. What's the issue? Why should you not have to toivel a shchita knife? So the Shach explains in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos, on the spot, She'ein Tzarech Tevila, Hatam of Vorsham, the Lav Klei Suda, that a shchita knife is not called a Klei Suda. Why is that? The Behema Chaz Yalechila, So comes the Shach and says, Klei Suda, according to that opinion, is if I use a pot or a pan to prepare the food, and when I take the food out of the pot or pan, it's ready to be eaten. So then that Klei was a Klei Suda. It created a Suda for me. When you shecht an animal, you can't eat the animal. No one's going to eat the animal raw. The shechita knife is one of the kelim that's used on something that's eventually going to become food. So 20 steps down the line, if you clean it up and you kasher it and you cook it, so then in 3 days you'll be able to sit and eat the food. At the time of the shechita knife is not considered to be a klei suda yet, even though it's in a very, very early stage of preparation of the food, but that's not considered to be a klei suda. And the other opinion disagrees. The other opinion says, no, anything that's used in any shape or form towards the preparation of the food, even though right now it's not yet royal achila, that's also considered to be klei suda. So we try, the Ramadli says, that we try to be machmir this if we can, albeit without a bracha. Even though most of us are not toivling our shechita knives, no one has ever called me, no sheikh has ever called me to ask me whether he has to toivle shechita knives, but we do have many, many modern day equivalents of the shechita knife. If you just think, you go through your own kitchen, when you get home tonight, ask your wife, so go through some of the things in the kitchen and think, things that are used with food, but when you finish using that particular kli, it's still not ready, it's still not edible. So let's say, for example, you have a potato peeler. So I peel the potatoes, obviously I have to peel the potatoes at some point, so it's participating in the preparation of food process, but when I finish peeling the potatoes, I still can't eat the potato. The potato's raw, so I gotta then cook the potato. So the pot that I cook the potato in, that's for sure klei suda, it has to be toivel. But the peeler that I use to prepare the potato, so that should probably be the same as the sakan shel chita, that same achlokes. It could be that the peeler may be chai for another reason. Let's say a person uses that same peeler to peel carrots or something, or to peel cucumbers. So then it's mamash like a knife. If you use a cucumber, you peel the cucumber, eat the cucumber right away. You peel the carrot, you eat it right away. So if you have something that's also used as a main part of its function is to prepare those things which are edible right now, for sure that would be chayef. But if you have something which is so far removed that even when you finish eating, you finish using it, still the food is not edible, that would be subject to this machlokes, the 2 days of Shulchan Aruch, somewhat unresolved question.
Would you say machlokes be applicable to a sickle that's used to cut the wheat? Should be the same.
I mean, according to, that would be really, really far removed. Right? Would that be the same even? I don't know. I'll think about that. No one has to do that shell yet either. So, you have in a certain sense, the flip side of the shayla. What's the din if I have a food, if I have a kli that's been used in the preparation of the food, but the food is really prepared? It means I can really eat the food before I'm introducing this kli. I'm using this additional kli to give it a little bit of a better taste, to give it a little bit of a fancier form of eating it. But the food is edible even without using the kli. So that's, in a certain sense, the flip of the shayla. The shayla of the sakan shel shchita, or the potato peeler, is I'm using a kli that's really necessary. There's no way to get this animal shecht without using a knife. There's no way to get the potatoes cleaned and cooked without peeling them. So in the first case, in the Shulchan Aruch, the kli is necessary, but it's too early on in the process. But now we're asking a flip shaila, where the kli is a much, much later point in the process, but it's not even really necessary, because the entire process that I'm doing isn't all that necessary. So what's the din? Would such a kli be required to have tefillah or not? So this is not the favorite in the Rishonim or in the Shulchan Aruch. This is a tshuva of Ramesha. Ramesha has a chiddush that Ramesha writes that once the food is edible beforehand, the fact that you're throwing it into for a little bit of an extra, extra touch-up, that is not enough to be labeled as a clay suit. It's based on this, that Ramesha had a kula, that one doesn't have to toivel toasters. Ramesha was not talking about our toaster ovens, he was talking about the old-style toasters, where the only way to use the toaster, you have to take a piece of bread, stick it into the toaster. So Ramesha said, should we view the toaster as a pot, leaving out the electricity part for a moment, should we treat the toaster like a pot? That's like either I'm putting a potato inside a pot, I have to toivel it. So here I'm putting a piece of bread into a toaster, and the toaster is heating it up, so should it have to be toiveled? So Ramesha thought, no. Ramesha thought that since the toaster is only used on bread, which itself is edible, I can eat the bread before it's toasted, because I want to have a nice, soft piece of toast or something in the morning. So that's wonderful, but that's not called the klei seuda. The toasting is not really necessary for the purpose of eating the food, so, and it's too far removed, therefore it's not called klei seuda. If you mamish eat with this klei, let's say you have a fork, so you wouldn't say, well, you can eat the food without a fork, you can eat with your hands. No. A klei that mamish using besocha seuda, that was category number one. Anything that I'm using to mamish eat with, to drink with, to put the food on directly to eat from, that's for sure chayav in tefillah. Everybody agrees to that. The machlekes from Moshe and others, those who disagreed with Moshe, was something which is part of the klei seuda because it's part of the preparatory stages of the food. So Moshe was mechadesh that a preparatory stage that's not all that necessary isn't enough to be chayav in tefillah's kelim. And many posts can disagree with Moshe. If you accept this school of Ramosha, then one could raise perhaps even a more a greater chiddush. What would the din be? Let's say I have a tea kettle, old style tea kettle. So maybe one could argue that a tea kettle doesn't have to be tovel according to Ramosha, because the water you could drink the water without it, you could drink the water cold. So maybe that's not the same. When you have a pot, so I have to cook up the potatoes. I can't eat potatoes raw. I can't eat the egg raw. I can't eat the chicken raw. So I mamash need the pot to cook up the chicken. Masha ain't came when I have a tea kettle. So maybe it's not necessary to have the tea kettle all together, I could drink the water cold. So that would be quite a chiddush. I don't think Ramosha says that. What's the chiluk? Why should somebody argue that even Ramosha would agree? So this is a throwback to things we spoke about in Kol HaBoker over the years about Bishul. There's a big machlokes poskim. If you cook something on Shabbos that was basically edible beforehand, let's say I cook carrots on Shabbos, or I cook an apple on Shabbos, so would that be a Bishul derais or not? That's a big machlokes. So according to those who say that there wouldn't be a bishul derais on something because it was ready, it was edible from beforehand, but the Gemara says beferish that heating up water, well, pretty much beferish, that heating up water is a derais, and the Rambam says beferish, if you heat up water, so that's considered to be malacha derais. So why is heating up water called the malacha derais if the water was drinkable? So you have to say something along the lines that in the realm of water, so hot water and cold water are like two different things. Cold water, it's a hot day and you want a cold drink, you drink a cold drink of water. When your throat hurts, your stomach hurts, you want a hot cup of tea. It's not basically the same. An apple, a cooked apple, a baked apple, a raw apple, it's an apple, a little softer, a little harder, it's basically the same chetza. Carrots, there are different ways to eat carrots. Some people like the carrots cooked, some people like the carrots raw, some people like timis, some people like it in a salad. It's all basically the same carrot. Water is so fundamentally different. The goal of hot water and cold water is so radically different from one another, you can't say that it's basically the same water. So that's why probably heating up water on Shabbos is for sure deraisa. Even if you're cooking carrots, it's not. Heating up water is for sure deraisa. So the same is probably true when it comes to tefillas kelim. You want to argue that the guy who toasts up his bread, what's the difference between a regular piece of bread and a slice of toast? It's a little brown or a little soft, a little hard, a little stale, a little fresh. It's all the same thing. But water, a cup of cold water, a cup of hot water. Can you imagine if I ask you to bring me a cup of hot tea? So I'll say to you, I won't bring you a cup of hot tea, I'll bring you a cup of cold water. So that's a different chaloshem, it's a totally different entity. So probably even Ramosha would agree that the tea kettle has to be tovel deraisa. But such kelim, like the toasters, things that really you don't, is really not improving the food all that much. So Ramosha at a chiddush doesn't require tefillah, and many poskim disagree with that. There are other types of kelim that have become a very common shilas. And that's the issue of disposable kelim. So is there any reason in halacha to say that you don't have to tovel a disposable kli? Obviously, if it's made up of a material that doesn't have to be tarvin. Talk about, well, let's say if it's made of aluminum, so you have an aluminum foil pan, so you're going to use it. You can use it now. So why doesn't have to be tarvin? There's a misconception out there that if you have a kli that has to be tarvin, so you're allowed to do it one time. When we were little kids, they told us that if you have a kli that it's chayav in tefillah, you get a one time a break. That's like almost as bad as telling a person, you can be mechal Shabbos once, just don't do it twice. That doesn't make any sense. There is no such halach as mamash dvarim b'teilim. But the poskim do discuss, if you have a kli, not that you want to use it one time. The whole essence of a kli is a one-time use. It's a type of kli that never really has the chashivas of a kli. It's just a temporary disposable kli. Maybe such a kli doesn't require tefillah altogether. Why in the world should one say such a thing? So many poskim say that although we've been highlighting the fact that tefillas kelim really has nothing to do with kashrus, and tefillas kelim really has nothing to do with tum v'tahor either, because the minute the kli comes out of the mikvah, I touch it again, it's going to become tummy anyway. I'm tummy, it's tummy. We don't really care about tum v'tahor of bizman hazeh. We don't have kachim in my sesheni anymore, so we're not so concerned with tum v'tahor. So tefillas kelim that we do is not really a tum v'tahor mitzvah. But many poskim say that it's still patterned after tum v'tahara. Namely, only those types of kelim that could potentially be subject to tuma are chayiv in tefillah. You have a type of a kli that for some technical reason is just mufka, is just excluded from the parsha of tum v'tahara, so then it's not going to be included in the mitzvah tefillas kelim. What are some examples of kelim as such that for some technical reason they're not makabel tuma? So the Rambam in the fifth of the Marmakomos, Anuchas Kelim per Kelach Hazayin, the Rambam describes different kinds of kelim. So he's describing. Take a look at the second line. He writes a shechoshev lecho mashe besochel lezarko. Let's say a person has a type of a kli, and his goal is to eat what's inside this kli, and then he's going to throw the kli out right away. So the Rambam writes such a kli is not makabel tuma. Then he gives another example: a keren shemishdamish b'mashlicha in makabel tuma, something that you use just in a one-time thing. So it's not makabel tuma. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuvas that just as the Rambam holds, based on the Mishnayos, that a disposable kli is not makabel tuma, so too it's not considered to be a kli for the purposes of tefillas kelim either, and one would not have to tovel it. And then Rabbi Moshe writes, even if by some chance you use it more than once, since it was made for the purpose of using one time, it's not considered to be a significant kli. So even if you try to chaperine a second use out of your aluminum pan, but again, if it's a sturdy aluminum pan that's made to use for 6 months, then it has to be tefillah. But if it's fundamentally disposable and you're just a little cheap and you want to use it twice, so then Rebbe Moshe says it would not have to be tefillah. There are different opinions about this. Not everyone agrees to this, such a remotion. I think that most people are knowing like this. I think most people do not travel their aluminum pans, but there are some who are machmer in this. There are some who are machmer to buy the Israeli-made ones. You buy the Israeli-made ones, so if they're made by a Jew all along, if they were made by a Jew and owned by a Jew, and they were never owned by a guy, so then they don't have to be typed. So sometimes if you buy in the Hamish brands of the pans, so they'll even say on the Yonasim, Ba'os Yisrael, and Tzorach Tevila, and Shoyim. Okay, those want to be machmer for that. But the Me'ikra Din, I think that most people follow this tshuva of Rav Moshe.
Right,
if it's made by a Jew, then you buy it in. Yeah, then it has to be titled. Right. But the truth is that the Hamisha brand stuff, you're usually going to be fouled in the Hamisha stores. It usually goes hand in hand.
So this would be the heter, for example, for a coffee jar or a marmalade jar or something like that, that you also, because it's just made to be thrown out.
That's a different question. You see, the aluminum pans are made in such a way that you're not really made to use more than once. A coffee jar is a very solid thing. You could use it for 20 years. You personally are not going to. So that's a different question. If I decide to reuse my jar, I want to reuse my grape juice bottle or something, so that was a further shaila. So Rav Moshe had a chiddush there also. Rav Moshe thought that since it was made originally to be thrown out, when you decide to reuse it, so now it becomes a kli, but it becomes a kli, it's biyad Yisrael. It's like the Jew made it. Since Kozman, that it was owned by the guy, it wasn't really made as a kli. It was made to be thrown out. once you've changed the usage, so that's like Nasa B'Yad Yisrael. That's also a big chiddush. This idea that Rav Moshe develops that a kli that's disposable is not considered to be a kli. So Rav Moshe didn't hold that way in other areas of halacha. He just meant that when it comes to Tfilas Kelim, because Tfilas Kelim goes hand in hand with Tumas Kelim, and Tumas Kelim is a special din that it's not Makabel Tumah. Let's say in other areas that require a kli, let's say Lamashal, Netilas Yadayim. So would you say that a disposable kli is no good? So you want to wash it now with a plastic cup. So Rav Moshe held mikra, then you can. There are some poskim who said no. Some poskim said disposable kelim, anishkin kelim. It's not a kli altogether, and you can't even use it for the tefillah sedayim. So Rav Moshe didn't hold that way. Or some poskim held that you can't use a disposable cup for kiddush. You want to make kiddush on a plastic cup, you can't do that. So it's nishkin kli. So it's like holding grape juice in your hands. That's nothing. So Rav Moshe didn't hold like that either. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that it's not right to make kiddush on a plastic. He thinks that it's a bizayim. It's not proper respect for the mitzvah of kiddush. But mikra din, it's okay. That's what Rav Moshe writes, that if you're mamash stuck, you can't find a kiddush cup, so mikra din, you can be yotzei kiddush with a plastic cup. Rav Moshe doesn't mention anything about putting two cups together. I'm not sure who started that idea. But some poskim said that the plastic cups are no good because they're nishken kelim, they're not kelim at all. And Rav Moshe said you shouldn't use them as cover of kiddush, but mikra din, they would be okay, because Rav Moshe held that disposable is still called a kli, albeit it's not called a kli for the purposes of tefillas kelim. Then the sixth of the Maror Mekomos, so the Rambam in Hilchos Kelim, Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, also talks about Tumas Kelim, but then according to many poskim, it carries over to Tfilas Kelim. Kol kli matchos sheyesh lam shem efnei atzman, mekam tuma, chutz min adeles, v'naga, v'mano, v'pochot, etc. All these different Kelim are not mekabel tuma. And the reason is, the Rambam writes in the next line, she'elu asil mekark l'shamash se'et, en mekabel tuma. Anything that's made for the purpose of being connected to a structure to the ground is not makabel tuma altogether. Even the Ram says kol shiyikvu, even though you didn't actually connect it to the ground yet, it's not considered to be makabel tuma. So therefore, the Rambam writes a door is not makabel tuma, a pipe is not makabel tuma, anything locked to a door, anything that's going to be part of the building structure is automatically karak, and a karak is not a kli. Only kelim of makabel tuma, not karak. So some poskim wanted to extend this to tefillas kelim as well. If you have a kli that, although it looks like a utensil, but it's part of the ground, then one would not have to tovel that. What would be an example of this? So this was a tremendous chiddush. One of the gedolei poskim from Switzerland, or Breisch, he was one of the dayanim in Switzerland after the war. So he had a tremendous chiddush. He said that he thinks that you don't have to tovel any electric kelim, because all electric kelim are considered to be nasu, to be part of the karka. Since you can't use the kli without plugging it in, so when you plug it in, it's mechubal karka, so it's nasa to be part of the karka. So the male, it's part of from tefillah. So in one fell swoop, he was mata everything that's electric is part of tefillah's kelim. So the overwhelming majority of the poskim didn't accept that. They thought that even if it's true that maybe real kelim that a mamash connected to the ground and not makabel tumah, they thought that was an unbelievable jump to compare that to electric kelim. Electric kli is not part of the karka. It's easy, come, you plug it in, you plug it out. That's not really the chub la karka, the Rambam says, is a door. You're going to nail it into the structure. A pipe, you're going to stick it into the ground. Those are called nasa l'shamash is a karka. Something that's going to be plugged in and plugged out, that's not the nasa l'shamash is a karka. So most of the poskim, I don't think, accepted the school of Dayan Breisch. So where does that place us in terms of electric kelim? So the pasha of the varm is that if there's no kula, then you have to table them. So now this has opened up a very big question over the last several decades already about, practically speaking, what should that take be on electric kelim? Again, assuming that there's a chiyuv tefila, what do you do about that chiyuv tefila? So there are always rabbanim who throughout the years had recommended toivel it and just wait till it dries out and everything will be fine. So I can't take responsibility for that statement, but I can tell you that it's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be fine. Especially there are many kelim today that are made in such a way that if you toivel them, they will get ruined. I can tell you that from first-hand basis, because I've ruined enough kelim to know that. So there are many kelim that actually do get ruined, especially some of the more high-tech stuff that has computer chips inside it. For sure, this stuff could potentially get ruined by the water. So now the question is, what do you do? So on the one hand, you chayv in tefillas kelim. On the other hand, the kli is going to get ruined. So there's a big machlokes in the contemporary poskim whether such a kli is chayv in tefillah altogether. So some poskim said that it's inconceivable that the halacha should require you to do something that's going to break your kli. That means built into the mitzvah, tefillas kelim is, if you can't do it, so then you're not mechuyav to do it. The kli is not treif, the food's not treif, there's a mitzvah on the person to do tefillas kelim. So it can't be that the Torah, the Chum, and the Shulchan Aruch should tell you to tovel your kli and then throw it into the garbage. It's not shayach. So the male one is potter. And others said, who made up that svar? So don't use the kli. So the world will go on. So you won't use the urn. You won't use the grill. You won't use the thing. You have no heter to use it unless you're toivel it. So that's one question. So it's hard for me to be machri on that shaila. So I think that maybe the better, or at least one possible answer to that, to these kinds of problems is as follows. The poskim tell us that a kli is only chayiv in tefillah if it was owned by a goy, made by a goy, or owned by a goy, and now belongs to a Jew. What if it still belongs to a goy? So the kli was technically chayiv in tefillah, but lemaisa it doesn't belong to a Jew now, so then there is no chayiv of tefillah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the possibility. Let's say a guy's mamish stuck, there's no mikvah, he can't tovel Caleb. So the Shulchan Aruch has quoted the Eitzah to give the kli to a goy as a gift and then to borrow it back from the goy. So even though that Eitzah is only given on a temporary basis in Shulchan Aruch, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, you do that until you find the mikvah. When you find the mikvah, then you tovel. But what I'm telling you is that if you're going to tovel these urns, you're going to tovel these things, they're going to break. So then that's like tantamount to never finding a mikvah. So it's impossible to tovel them. So I think that the better Eitzah is that you should find a guy who you trust, who you hope won't walk away with the kli, and you give them the kli as a gift, and then they give it back to you to borrow, and then technically it's not chayav in tefillah. And we normally wouldn't recommend this, normally you're supposed to tovel things, but something which is going to break, and according to many poskim, therefore it's patur altogether, even though there are some who still insist that you're chayav, so this is the better Eitzah. There are, what I tell people, I recommend people to do is that, especially with the urns, is that there are urns out there that are made by Jews. There's a whole company that makes urns that has an hashkach on it. Nasim Avilus Yisrael, so you buy it from a frum store. So again, it was made by a Jew and owned by a Jew, and it was never owned by a goy altogether. So don't give that urn to your goy as a gift, because then you're chayv in tefillah. So if it was owned by a Jew, bought by a Jew, etc., made by a Jew, then you should just, then you can use it without doing any of these stunts. If it's a kind of a thing that was made by a goy, bought by a goy, so then, according to many poskim, you can make a legamrei, and according to others, it would be a better Eitzah to do this thing. And even though this Eitzah is not the best Eitzah, but it's a possibility. In Eretz Yisrael, there's another Eitzah that's sometimes practiced. The poskim write that if you find somebody who can actually take the kli apart to the point where the kli is not functioning anymore, and then he puts it back together with you for you, so then it's technically nasa biyad Yisrael. That's like a new kli. Parim chadash volakad. So the reason why in Eretz Yisrael, it's this Eitz is used more, is that you have more people available to do that. You find any good electrician, you find somebody who knows what they're doing, so then they can take the urn apart and put it back together again. I would not recommend an amateur guy. I would for sure, I could barely figure out how to plug in the urn when the plug is connected, so I wouldn't think of taking the urn apart. But again, in order to show some people do this. Remember, I was once giving a shiur in my shul about this, and I mentioned that the Eitz is either not covering at all, or giving it to the guy, so there was a rav there from Eretz Yisrael. So after the shiur came off me, he thought I was crazy. He said, what are you talking about? He says, we do this all the time. We give it to, there's an electrician, there's a guy who knows what he's doing. So I said, because you live in Yerushalayim, I live in Bergenfield. I haven't found anybody who knows how to do this yet. So we have to rely on the other shittas. We say either it's archaiv, or you do this kunsim, etc. When, a couple of months ago, we bought one of those, coffees, what do they call them? The Keurig things. You stick the thing in, hope it's focused on the thing comes out, a fresh cup of coffee. So those kinds of things, so the many people have strongly recommended not to tovel, because they're very, very sensitive. They have computer chips inside. You can't tovel them, the whole thing's not going to work anymore. So I was wondering what to do with this, so I was very hesitant to give it to, normally we have a woman who comes to clean the house a couple of days, so I didn't want to give this to her as a gift, because I was afraid she was going to walk away with it, and I didn't want her to think that I'm telling her that she can now use it, bring her own tray for hot chocolate or something and using it. So I had to find an outside, had to outsource my guy. I had to find a non-Jew who I didn't think would walk away with this. So I found some, Baruch Hashem, we found somebody who was more than able and responsible to officially be Zocha on this thing for me, and then he was able to give it back to me. So my carrying machine still actually belongs to him, so hopefully he won't come to collect it one of these days, but definitely it still belongs to him. I think I have stuff still from him. There was one time we were having a party, as he is, when I was in Bocha still, we forgot to table something, and the guests were already there, so I gave it to there was a non-Jew in the house, so I gave it to her as a gift. It's like 30 years later, so in theory she still owns it. I forgot to buy it back from her. I don't think she's alive anymore. I don't know if she is anymore. But the mice is sometimes when you're stuck and you have no other Eitzah, so that's a good thing to keep up your sleeve as a sniff lahochla and somebody shah. Okay. So stop.
What do you actually tell non-Jew? I'm gifting this to you.
I'm giving it to you. It's yours. I'm just asking, can I please borrow it?
And you borrow it permanently.
Right. So according to me, it's probably not chayav in tefillah. Probably not. You're becoming to the Taz. The Taz says if you do this trick for too long, then it becomes a joke and it really belongs to you.
It sounds like the best
harama. It's the worst harama, but there's no choice. It's either that or don't tie it all together. That's why you're only allowed to do this under these very, very unique circumstances. Okay, stop.
What about the 10 drives along the carrying machine?